Jimmy, I forgot my tea.
Go get your tea.
No, it's fine.
Go get your tea.
We'll do the show.
I mean, does it even matter? Does anything even matter?
This show is going to be six or seven minutes long. So everybody yell quick at once.
Get it out. Get it all out now. Because it's not going to be a marathon show.
It's not going to be a marathon show.
How long can you talk about turnovers?
I can't do it. And I'm reserving all of my everything for, at this point, we're pot committed. What's the point? You're in it till the end. When it's all over, you can have your assessments. Yeah. At this point, we are where we are.
We're in too deep.
You're in too deep, but this is what we've got. It's, I don't even know where to begin. You know, I don't even know where to begin.
Why we're so frustrated is because there's no time left. Like, this is your team. And they're losing the same way that they've always lost. Old habits, right?
Chris wants to do the show. He was telling me on Twitter.
Turnovers. Chris,
I told you, you could do it. Yeah.
Turnovers. Just complaining again. Missed free throws. I can't even talk about missed free throws. I mean, really, what the hell? The turnovers just are nonstop. Just dribbling into nothingness, turning the ball over, bad passes. Yes, it's such a toxic relationship. We've definitely mentioned that for sure.
But again, I have a lot of things to say about this team in general, and I would have said it whether they won or lost, and I'm just going to hold off and I'm going to reserve, but the worst part about it is this is what happens. You get this far and you're going to have two schools of thoughts. And again, anything could happen. I don't believe it's over. I actually thought they were going to win tonight. So I don't believe it's over. But
how does that add up?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Nothing you say made sense, but that's okay.
You're going to have two schools. If it is over and if they do lose, you're going to have two schools of thoughts. You're going to have the guys, come on, they made the finals and nobody expected it.
I already hate those people.
And what a magical run, and this was a gift. Fine, whatever. That's one school of thought. The other is, when you get to this stage, sometimes, it's like that person that, who's wearing tons of makeup, and then you get really, really, really close and you start to see, there's a lot going on there,
Wait a second, yeah.
And so this is what's happening a little bit here is the stuff that you're so concerned with that you're like, they don't do it all the time. And you're seeing it over and over again, and it's all the stuff. It's the maturity, the turnovers, the drifting in and out of focus, forgetting to start quarters, not coming out in the first, not coming out in the fourth, missed free throws, all of this stuff, the issues with who's handling the ball. Why do they have so many turnovers? For the love of God, because they don't have a pure point guard. And again, I know people will defend Smart to the hilt. He played really well. He turned the season around for them. You just don't have a guy who's natural with the ball in their hands who can kind of calm things down and set them up. So you're putting the ball in Tatum and Brown's hands and just say go. And they're sloppy.
He wasn't calm tonight. Yeah, he wasn't calm in the second
half. And he was all over the place. And that really sucked. So there's warts here. There's warts. They can overcome them. They just have to kind of
Composure a bit. I mean, keep it together.
There's
no excuse.
They're getting mentally owned right now, and they're mentally owning themselves. The most interesting matchup is the Celtics versus the Celtics right now. If this game, even during their run, if you go, I swear, I'm going to rewatch it, and there's going to be like, great play. What the F was that? Oh my God, great play there. What the F are they doing? Like during that run where they took a 3-4 point lead, they could have taken a 12 point lead. There were still ridiculous possessions within that run that they just didn't value the basketball. They're like, hey, we're back in the game. I guess I can just flip it into traffic and see what happens. And the same stuff. It's just, there's no urgency or care for the ball, for the moment, for what the game needs at any given time, how critical it is after you play defense for 23.5 seconds to make sure that you block out the guy next to you, Grant Williams, stopping to play at the end of the third quarter as Golden State races down the court for a third, and Grant's like, I'm cool, just 5 seconds, what could happen? That stuff is...
After a horrible three on the other end by the
Celtics. That stuff is get out of the game and I never want to see your face again sort of bad. And I don't think we did see Grant's face again.
He had a bad foul before that. I mean, he's had a horrible series. And you thought that could have been a good matchup situation there. A young guy like Grant, he's been wiped.
Oh, let's go live to the post game. Ready? Okay, here we go. Let's go. You know, we just got to come out with more urgency. We just got to play with more composure. You know, I know we can, you know, and I think we will, and the series isn't over. We just got to play better. Okay, thanks, everyone.
I'll be Ime. Yeah, I told the guys to, you know, start playing like assholes. You know, playing like assholes out there. I told them to stop playing like assholes. Well, guess what, Ime? Find something else to say. This is not working, man. They're still playing like assholes in the fourth quarter. Man, that fourth quarter was so, like, disheartening and, like, where's the pride? I mean, you were getting walked all over in that fourth quarter. After a nice third, they finally had a nice third quarter, right? A great comeback. Momentum on their side. What happened? Just because Jordan Poole hit a buzzer beater three, that changed everything? These guys are all just going to pout about it?
No, it's Jimmy. I honestly think it's like they
what happened?
They get comfortable so quick, whether it's with a series lead or with a lead in a game, and they it's the urgency. Not just possession to possession, touch to touch. You know, they just don't have it. It's nonstop focus. You think of, like, you know, elite individual athletes, like, you know, a tennis player, how much friggin' focus they have shot to shot, point to point, to be able to last a 5-set match and all of that. You can't just start just flinging it around. Like, you're literally have to be locked in a baseball pitcher. One pitch costs you the game. You know, like, I don't know what it is about these guys or this sport where they're just like, yeah, whatever. Sometimes I'm just going to try some shit. You know, like, everything matters. We, you know, see the ball into your hands. Make passes only when they're there. Set clean screens. Don't get caught up with dumb stuff. You know, hit the boards. Block out. Simple fundamental things that you're like, you'd be losing your mind if your 12-year-old youth team, you know, that you're coaching wasn't doing some of this stuff, and you're watching them not do it all the time. And you're like, guys, we went over this already. You know, like, it's insane to me. Like, Lisa Salters had one of her sideline reports late in the fourth quarter. And they're like, what did he may say in the timeout? Well, he said he just told those guys to lay off the refs and just kind of keep their composure and play. Oh, thank goodness. He may finally told them to do that. Game 5 of the finals. Why didn't he tell them to do that earlier in the year?
And you know what? It still didn't really matter. And they don't seem to, that doesn't seem to, they've bought into Ime, it seems, but there are some things that they'll apparently never buy into, and letting the refs ruin them is one, I guess.
It's call it what you will, maturity or immaturity, not experience, ready for the stage.
Experience is playing a role here. We talked about experience as an X factor leading into this series and how the Warriors had it, Celtics didn't, and if that would...
Like Wiggins' playoff experience?
No, but you know what I'm saying. Wiggins is surrounded. The reason why Wiggins is so good is because of the atmosphere that
I know. I don't disagree with you, Jimmy. But again, this was the stuff we're saying at the beginning of the year, right? Like, what else do they need right now? What else do these guys, the star players, need?
There's no excuses left.
Yeah. They themselves have been in big games before, even though they're young. They're in their fifth and sixth years in the league. Those are veterans. Okay, you're a veteran who's played in a lot of big games, and you've got Al Horford and Marcus Smart here, who are smart, cerebral, veteran leaders to calm you down and to kind of refocus you. Okay, you're surrounded by the right people here. It's a good environment. And I know Golden State has big game experience, but this was you know, the stuff that plagued them early that they just couldn't get out of their own heads. I'm just so tired of it at this point. Like, you know, you can't just, when things get hard, just go, you know, just go into a hole.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's the lack of response when things aren't going the way they should. Like in that fourth quarter, it just felt like the words were just pouring in on all of a sudden. And it wasn't even Curry. We didn't even talk about this yet. Curry had a very pedestrian game, actually struggled.
You lost the cold Curry mightily. Game, which exactly. We said was coming.
This had to be a win. You have to win the game that Curry is a human being and not a superhuman. And you didn't. He couldn't hit a damn shot tonight. And you let Wiggins run all over you. You let Clay hit some big shots. You let Draymond do his thing. Draymond had the best game of this series by far for him, even though he fouled out, but he still made his mark. And you just couldn't take advantage of it. It was just so freaking frustrating to watch. Everyone's seeing the same things. I mean, it's all about their lack of fight, their lack of maturity, their ability to sort of take a punch, reset. I'm talking about mid-game. We see these guys, they can do it from game to game. Obviously, we've seen them win after losses numerous times. But mid-game is where you really wonder, what's going on in these guys' heads? Why can't they regroup out there? Why can't they just come back down to earth? They're playing, like you said, like crazy. They're either playing way too fast or way too slow. It never feels like they're just letting the game come to them and playing within the game. And tonight it was a mixture of that. I mean, they were just going down. They couldn't wait to turn the ball over. They could not wait to dribble down the court and turn the ball over. I can't tell you how many times it happened. I mean, 20. Like, I know I think they had 20 turnovers, but just like Jalen or Jason or Marcus just dribbling down, head down, dribbling into somebody, horrible pass, turnover, goes back the other way. I mean, how many times is the same thing going to happen? Like you like to say, it's the definition of insanity, John, right?
Right. It's nuts. It's just nuts, man. It's nuts. And we're going to bang our heads here over and over again you still there?
I'm right here.
Oh, sorry. I thought I lost you for a second. Everything went...
not that easily.
Everything went black.
You might lose me. I might actually just exit out and just pretend that I have a bad connection.
First person that shows up, Jimmy leaves.
If someone shows up, we'll see. I wouldn't show up if I was Bobby.
We'll see. I told those guys. This thing's over early. This thing's over early, people.
Oh, man.
I mean, everything is bad. I mean, right now. And again, like I said, those warts get exposed here. And just, you know, you see what they don't have. It's definitely hurting them. I mean, you know, early season concerns, you know, like Tatum and Brown playing well together, you know, true point guard, bench depth, you know, like all of that stuff. Al, you know, being old, you know, like these were like day one concerns that like they played through and then they slaughtered everybody second half of the year. And you're like, huh, totally different. But you're seeing it rear its head a little bit now. I mean, the bench had 4 points total. Derek White was Grant Williams, you know, again, Grant and all of the money, all of you friggin' guys. I don't want to get mean, but all the money. Some of you guys were like, "Oh, Grant's getting paid this offseason." Grant is what Grant is, the ninth or tenth guy off your bench, and so is Peyton Pritchard, and that's who they are. And they're not able to step up and help you here, and that hurts you a little bit. You got Peyton coming in, you know, a guy like Peyton.
Cold.
Yeah, and that stinks too because Pritchard comes in, misses all his threes early, and then just gets – he came in only to knock down threes. He got three good looks, missed them all. That's it. That's the night for him, you know? Yep. There's not much else he can do. He did okay. He held up on the defensive end even when they tried to go at him. It's just he was in there to knock down shots, and he didn't knock down shots. Grant was whatever. Grant
was – what he's been in this series, which is largely invisible.
Invisible.
You know, a couple things here and there, but generally speaking, you're not getting that extra support from the bench that you got in other series.
And the guys who have the ball in their hands, you know, the most, Tatum, Smart, Brown, 4, 4, and 5. That's 13 turnovers just between those three. Yeah.
You know, if the Celtics do go down here, let's say they lose in 6 or 7. What do we say about Tatum? I mean, this has been a horrible series for Tatum. I know
it's horrible.
He hit some shots later on in this game here and there, but fourth quarter, no show. There's nobody leading. There's no leading right now on this team. Who's taking the reins? I know everyone's like, oh, Jaylen Brown's your MVP, your finals MVP. Okay, yeah, mostly by default. I mean, there's nobody that's really put the team on their back here and let's prove to everyone why we belong in the NBA Finals. It's beating themselves.
It's rough. So it's rough. The Tatum questions are really good ones because people are going to be really torn here. Because what's interesting is like statistically, some of his better games have all resulted in losses.
Watch the game. Yeah,
you got to watch the game. When you look at the box score results, if you look at the three losses, you're going to see what looks to be kind of a more robust sort of Jaylen Brown game, and it's just not. It's not really,
bad turnovers, some stupid decisions, some shots that they took were just like, what are you doing?
I mean, again, you're talking about, Tatum plays almost the whole fourth quarter minus, garbage time where he sits. He's 1 for 5, with a turnover and, misses 2 free throws, minus 15 in his stint in the fourth quarter. Absolutely dreadful. And in the first quarter, he goes 9.5 minutes. He makes 3 shots, but, that was all coming in off the bench. That first wave where he played the first 6 minutes, dreadful. Then he came in and he got a little hot there after he sat down. But just a really rough start and a rough finish for him. Only consistent player, I think, was Rob tonight. But, I mean, that's only going to do you so much. And, he didn't really do all that much in terms of rim protection. Most of the shots that went over him kind of just went over him.
22 points off turnovers for Warriors today.
Could have been more. They did not capitalize on all of their opportunities at all. They didn't, and they shot poorly as well. I mean, the Warriors played an ass game.
They still ended up with 22.
Warriors played a C-minus game. You played a D-minus game,
Yep.
But that's all of that stuff is, what happens when Tatum's having his bad games and turning it over? Everyone's like, the ball's got to be in Jaylen's hands. We talked about it. Does it, that's the problem is, that's what's going to happen. Jaylen has it, turned it over twice, almost turned it over a third time. That's it.
Right. Oh yeah. Like back to back. I think it was,
I mean, pick your poison, right?
That's what I mean. There's nobody like there's that presence that you need in a big game like this that's going to settle the troops down, get everybody reacclimated, get back on the same page. Whatever word you want to say for get your shit together, figure it out. Take a deep breath, go to calm.com if you have to, and just do your thing. The Celtics are talented enough to be in the position that they're in. But when they play, when they completely lose sight of how they got here, they look like just another team that's running around with their heads cut off.
I tweeted in the first half, Jimmy, that it looked like 5 guys at the Y who'd never met before.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Like nothing. Just crazy to me.
I am that guy. I am that guy at the Y who has no idea.
What position do you play? Do you handle the ball? All right, you run point.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a wing. I'm not a great shooter, but
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, again, fair or not fair, the series is going to come down to a referendum on Tatum and Brown, and that's what it's all going to be. So
I think that's fair.
I hate doing that. And like I said, I hate doing that because my opinion of Tatum and Brown is not changing because of these games. It's not. It's
but
not.
I think it could. I think mine could have changed with really strong performances.
Yes, I think right. If Tatum manned up and carried them and was a star, I'd say you might kind of. You're right. It might have changed up. It wasn't going to revise. It wasn't going to revise down. Any questions or concerns I have about Tatum or Brown, I would have regardless of whether they win. And if they knock off the next 2 games and both those guys play well, it's not going to change it. I think generally I feel the same way both. But if they go down in flames and they play this poorly again and they lose in six and they get run here with three straight after having a 2-1 series lead and really a chance to lock this thing up with a 3-1 lead at home and they piss that away. If they get run,
they're going to hear about it.
It's going to be all about those guys. Fair or not fair. I'm not sure what you guys in the chat think. Jimmy thinks it's fair.
I think it's,
you're going to start to question. You're going to have the defense of those guys is going to be like, and again, I've heard this a ton on Twitter and people yell at me and stuff like that. Like, it's not fair. They're younger. Look at these guys. They didn't do it till this and that. And that's not entirely wrong, but you're going to question whether or not you're going to do it here, you know, like whether or not they're going to be, how different they're going to be. I think always the feeling with the guys is continued growth and improvement, both in terms of their, what they can do on their court and their skill set. And their maturity, and the way that they handle things, that's not assured, you know, that's not certain. And Bobby's written about it and we've talked about it. How much of this stuff is baked in, you know, like who's your leader right now? Who's the guy who says, get on my back, boys? Like, I don't know. And again, I know that's kind of cliche sort of stuff. Really, at the end of the day, you just want guys to play, but, you know, that's going to be the story. All right, we're going to take a little pause here. I want to tell you about our sponsor, Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, where, of course, we are right now, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where it starts.
Totally. That is going to be the story. And that, again, it goes back to these guys get praise when, you know, they lead the team in one direction. They're going to get criticism when it goes the other way. My big thing is, I know that talent-wise, this team is good enough to beat the Warriors. We just know that. They just continue to beat themselves. So for me, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah,
it's
like Golden State was terrible tonight.
Right. It's just frustrating when you have the opportunities looking at you like that. You know, this is a golden opportunity that these players talk about. You know, they realized when they lost to the Heat in the bubble that, you know, they have to take more advantage. They have to take advantage of these situations. You know, you realize how little of a chance you get to come back. And then when you get back to this point, you really want to sort of do everything you can to make the most of it. But it's like, you're not doing that though. You're doing the opposite of that. Like, these are games that you could win. You know, if you had played, again, how many times have we said, John, if they just played okay, they win this game.
Yeah.
Like that's no different than tonight. If they just played okay, they would have won this game. And instead, it went the complete opposite direction in the fourth quarter. So many frustrating fourth quarters. I always want to like stab my eyes out when I get stuck watching one of those like 12-minute stretches. And I'm just like, get me out of here.
Brutal. You know, because we're going to wrap this show soon, I got to get the sponsor in before I say goodbye. So I'm going to sneak one in right now and I'm going to say, yeah, okay, we're bummed out. And, you know, no one wants to spend money or, you know, eat or celebrate anything. But we do want to tell you a little bit. Is the graphic on the screen?
No, not yet.
I'm really being wonky here. I want to tell you guys about, that's a secret.
I'm getting really annoyed.
Drum
roll, please.
I'm just getting annoyed. Jimmy, you think you could filibuster for 1 minute so I can log out and back in because everything's going so slow for me?
Yeah, sure.
All right, you do your thing. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'll do my thing. Let me see here. Let me shut off this message so I can read the stats here. Okay. So we talked about fourth quarter, lack of execution for the Celtics team. For me, it's their Achilles heel. It's been their Achilles heel. I just feel like, oh, John, you got HelloFresh up here. That's what you're trying to do. I just feel like over and over again, we talk about the same things. And that's why I think that at the end of the series, it's going to be about Tatum. It's going to be about Brown, talking about these two guys. Because if you continue to lose games in the same fashion, if you continue to turn the ball over, if you're sloppy with it, you're not playing your style of basketball that's gotten you to this point. You're not listening to coaching to a certain extent, because clearly Ime is trying to get through to these guys, you know, the right way to play the game, you know, staying within yourselves mentally where you want to be as well. And it's just not, it just hasn't been happening. So I think, you know, listen, is the series over? Absolutely not. I mean, we've seen this team rally from game to game. My issue is that in game, they seem to have issues sort of coming out of the tailspin. But for whatever reason, they can go from a horrible loss like one like tonight and completely turn it around on Thursday night. It's so difficult to try to predict which team's going to show up, not only in this series, but really it's in all of the playoffs. John, are you back?
I'm super back.
Okay.
I should have never been gone. It wasn't an internet issue. I'm hardwired in blazing speed. Restream was just wonky on me right now. Well, yeah, what were you saying? You finish your thought, and then I'll tell everybody about our Hello Fresh deal.
I was just kind of recapping what we had talked about Tatum and Brown sort of being the guys that are going to take either the credit or the brunt of this here. And the reason being is because they keep losing the same way. So at some point, like, what's going to be the repercussions for consistency in not being consistent, right? I mean, that's if they're the leaders of the team and they continue to put the team in this position where they're not able to, you know, string together wins, they're not able to show up in situations where they need to, they're not able to close out games. You need to have somebody step up and be the closer. Is it going to be Tatum? Is it going to be Brown? Or is it going to be neither one? In this series and in the playoffs, in numerous occasions, it's been neither one. And that's kind of been my issue, is I was really, really hoping that Tatum would take that leap, because he is Mr. First Team All-NBA, and with that comes expectations. And I think one of those expectations are to not go completely MIA for long stretches of time. And it's still happening. So
with great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. And that's the thing, is like, you know, again, we'll get to it. You're going to heap all the adulation on these guys. You know, you can't call them good and say that they're ready. And who would you rather want than these guys, and then have them puke on themselves and not point it out? And is it all their fault? No, God, no. It's not right now. The lack of roster depth is showing, you know, limitations, both with Al being older and Rob being less than 100%. Marcus is less than 100%. Marcus is not playing great right now.
He hasn't been great since the injury.
You're getting nothing out of your bench. Derek White had a rough game. Of course, it's not all on those guys, but you're the stars, you know, and that's it. And so when things go bad, that's even more when people look to you. When you're not getting contributions from everyone else, that's when you need those big time performances. I tweeted before the game that actually everyone seemed to be really high. Let's get this in a little bit, because this is the whole kind of Jason Tatum conversation. Want to talk again a little bit about our sponsor. And again, please check this out. I just got mine today, and I was pretty psyched about it. Mm-hmm. My first meal, Jimmy Hoisin honey chicken. Ooh, pretty nice with some green beans. Really good stuff here. So I've ordered another box out of my own pocket. This isn't just swag that the company sends you. I believe in this. It's that good. We've all kind of taken part here. So if you want restaurant quality, we don't have time to cook. We're up late, Jimmy. We're doing shows. We're doing stuff here. You know, playoff mode. Yeah, you don't have time for food shopping. I don't want to go to restaurants. They're friggin' expensive as hell. So I want HelloFresh to just send me farm fresh ingredients to my door.
Feed me. Yeah,
feed me. I whipped this thing up in 15 minutes. The whole family ate it. Awesome. HelloFresh.com/playoff16. Please go to that URL. At least take a peek at it and see if you're interested. As I said, you get all the way through to checkout and you'll be like, wait, that's all I have to pay for all that they're going to send? It's up to 16 free meals, 3 free gifts. It really is a good deal and it really is worth checking out. So again, please do that. Check it out. Restaurant quality meals, customizable menus, family style, meat and veggie, healthy, fit to go. Swap out your proteins. It's really whatever you want it to be. Exactly what you want. Lots of choices, and then you can customize those choices.
Everything's fresh,
and it's fresh, veggies, and it's pre-portioned, and the seasons and everything, and you don't have to do anything, and just eat it up and love it. So again, HelloFresh.com, playoff16. Use the code playoff16 here.
16 for 16 wins. Celtics still are at 14.
Still stuck here. We're going to check in now that we've talked about HelloFresh, and we're going to talk about Sherrod Blakely and what type of wisdom he's going to help bring to this podcast Sherrod. That to this point has been nothing but positive, Sherrod.
Really? You guys have been you're absolutely bullshitting me.
No, we're honestly, we're spinning our wheels, and I'm not going to lie. Like, part of what we were talking about here is just not really certain. You know, one thing we haven't gotten into is
morning commute.
Yeah. One thing we haven't gotten into is refs, which we'll get into at some point, because it was pretty disgraceful, but also not the reason the Celtics lost, but a really disgraceful game by the officials. But we were talking about Tatum and just, you know, the type of game that he had statistically looked pretty good, but disappearing at the end, wasn't really there in the beginning. There's a lot of problems. It doesn't all fall on the stars, but this was one of those games where people said before the game, and this is where we were headed, Sherrod, before the game, I tweeted that I don't think Tatum needs a superstar game. Everyone's like, Tatum's got to drop 50 tonight and reclaim control. I didn't think so. I thought he just had to play pretty well, not turn the ball over, do things within the flow. But when everything else was going bad and no one else was playing well, you actually kind of did need that big Tatum performance tonight. And it
didn't
come.
That's the thing. Right. See, that's the thing with that, Jason. I think at some point he's got to figure that out. I agree with you, John, most nights that he doesn't need to be top five Tatum in order for this team to win. But there comes a point in games when you look at your bench and you see Derek White has one more point than all three of us combined. Yep. You're getting nothing from Grant Williams. Peyton Pritchard can't hit open or contested shots. And Jalen is struggling. I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, at one point in the first half, when Draymond Green had twice as many points as Jaylen Brown, you knew you were struggling. And that's when, if you're Tatum, you got to go into takeover Tatum mode at that point. And I thought he came out in the third quarter. I thought you saw glimpses of that. But the way that they were playing, he needed to keep that going.
Yeah.
I thought he got to the point where he's like, okay, I'm reminding you all that I'm pretty freaking awesome. Let me get my teammates involved. And then it's just like, no.
At that point, I wanted to see him heat check it until he missed.
You put the team on your back. You go Cedric Maxwell and say, get on my back, fellas. I got you.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. And it's you look at his numbers, and again, it's hard to be too critical because the dude had a double-double before the fourth quarter even started. But when you're the best player on your team and your team is not getting it done, you have to just grab those guys by the necks and say, get the hell on my back. I'm going to carry us home, and we're going to put this thing away in Boston game six. And that never happened. That never happened. And if you're Ime, it's like, how much more can you ask and expect of Jason Tatum? I would have kept priming that pump until I couldn't get any more.
Yep. Keep going. Yeah, that was my thought too.
But it seemed that the mistake that they made, the biggest mistake I thought they made, was just a lack of recognizing what's working. Like, remember when they made that nice little surge in the second quarter? When they started to do some positive things, they were working the ball through Marcus Smart. He wasn't looking to score. He was just getting the ball either on the elbow or near the block and just directing traffic. And then they went away from that. They went like five, six, seven possessions away from that. And when you're watching them play, it's just like, how does that happen? How do you do something exquisitely well that's giving your opponent problems and you just randomly decide, we're going to try something different? Hell no. This time of year, you go with what's working. That's why they were impressed about getting Steph Curry shots early on, because Klay had it going, because Andrew Wiggins had it going on. They had other guys that were making positive. And your best player, you play to win at this point. You have to play to win. And I don't think the Celtics do that. They play this, and Johnny, you've talked about this many a times. There's a certain part of this team's DNA that they revert back to that's bad. And one of the bad parts of their DNA is deciding that even if something is working, I'm going to revert back to what I feel is comfortable. I'm going to revert back to what just is easy breezy type shit for me. Yeah. And almost like clockwork, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, you see it all the time. And that's human nature for everyone with everything, you know? I mean, it happens all the time. Anybody who's ever taken a golf lesson, you know, or anything that you do, you know, you start to do something, or someone shows you, you're taking piano lessons, and it's like, you got to do it like this. And it's like, yeah, or typing, whatever. It's easier to go back and do this thing. And like, you're right. They do that a lot. And it's frustrating when the formula has been so clear, move the ball, move without the ball, Don't make risky passes. Don't go. Don't play ISO. Play with pace. Things go well. Not always, but more often than not. Versus
and be aggressive.
Be aggressive. Versus slow it up. You know, hold the ball, dribble, and again, you know, and that's what happened with Tatum. Is you're right, he was in a groove and it was going for him, and then in the fourth quarter, he's trying to force it in on Wiggins, who's playing him pretty tough, and he's taking ridiculously contested, difficult shots there. He came up short on all of them. I don't, and again, fatigue could be an issue too. Every single shot of his in the fourth quarter was short. He missed two free throws in the fourth quarter in his only two attempts. It's just, or no, two of four. You know, so he could have been gassed too, but yeah, it's, again, you look at the stat line, and I know there's people in the comments will be like, how can you criticize this? It's pretty good and everybody else sucked. You know, it's not a criticism as much as it is like, do you feel like he played a great game? I don't know if he played a great game.
He played a good game. This time of year, it's not good enough.
He played parts of a good game, and then parts where when you really needed him, he wasn't really there. You know, this was almost like a Jaylen Brown game, you know, where like he had a couple of flashes. Right.
You got to watch the game. Don't just look at this box score. Like, you listen to music or you just read the sheet music? Like, do you listen to the sound, or are you just looking at – how difficult?
Well, some people don't listen to the entire song. They just listen for the hook. And if the hook they like, but the rest of the song is trash, they're just going to say, this is a great song because the hook. Tatum had I thought he had a good game, but they needed a great one. And a great one doesn't mean he scores a ton of points. It means that he makes his imprint on this game undeniable, and guys respond. And I didn't think the guys around him responded well enough. And I didn't think that he did a good enough job of elevating this team. Because there has to be games where he just says, forget this, I'm just going to take over. And that doesn't mean you go to the rim, you know, like a bull in a china shop. I mean, find some of that real estate between the three-point line and the free throw line, or in the paint, rather, and just shoot the mid-range. Go ahead.
No, you're right. And it is interesting because it's like, it's funny when you get national announcers haven't been doing games the whole time, and now finally they're like, wow, these guys complain all the time, huh? You know, like, they're like, stop. Like, oh my God. You know, like, Grant, 1 minute when he got a foul and he started in on the ref, and Ime just pulled him over. He's like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, you fouled him.
Shut up. Stop talking. Right. You know, and like, you can't do that with Tatum because he's your best player and you're not trying to, you know, get in it, you know. Yeah, you know, you don't want to disrupt them, but it's
show them up.
That stuff is, you know, just stop, you know, like, and again,
it's too late though. It's not, they're not gonna stop. It's official. No, like, they're not gonna stop.
Yeah, and
it's frustrating. It's holy wow, though.
It is. And for me, just watching this game, for me, the first quarter was extremely frustrating because Golden State was clearly being physical and aggressive. When you see Steph Curry putting his shoulder into you and bouncing you off of him, that should never happen. I know he's not the frail, you know, kid from Davidson he was, you know, a decade ago. But damn it, Tatum, you can't let Steph Curry bounce you off him like that. You can't do it. You can't let Jaylen Brown, you can't let Andrew Wiggins drive to the hole, put his shoulder into you, and clear space. You've got to stand your ground. Because that's exactly what Golden State was doing at the other end of the floor. Even when the Celtics tried to do that, they weren't bouncing, they weren't flopping. They were just saying, look, we're not going anywhere. And they have to be tougher. And that doesn't mean you foul the hell out of guys, but just be strong with the ball. Be strong with your actions. Stop being soft.
And again, a better game from Tatum overall. He doesn't deserve the brunt of all of it. Brown had a really rough one, though, as well. I mean, not as well. Brown was rough, and Tatum, again, he saved their ass there when they were going really poorly, and he did get them back into the game. And that shot was falling, thankfully. So he had a couple of good stretches there where it was working. Just the fourth quarter, the whole team just collapsed. But Brown was pretty bad throughout. I mean, he had a couple of, he had one little run there where he, got a little aggressive and was able to get to the hole, and score a couple of buckets, got an and one with his left. But for the most part, he was pretty out of sync the whole time. And again, the five turnovers for a guy who does not get this is the problem, Sherrod. You know, you talk about Tatum wasn't great and he was throwing the ball around. People are like, you got to run it through JB. Well, that's what happens, you know, it's sometimes where you give it to him and he's just kind of driving into swarms of people in a packed paint. And, you know, and some of that stuff, he was losing that handle at the beginning of his moves, not like after getting into traffic. He was just, it was just flying out of his hand. It was just one of those, like, I got to go to summer camp and work on my dribble sort of games with for Brown. And then the same, the two things you hate the most, the when loose dribble right out of the bat when he's trying to make his move, or the dreaded, you know, year one, drive into the lane, take two steps, jump, have no idea what's going to happen next, and just whip it out into the perimeter and hope that one of your guys is there. And those are the brutally bad turnovers. So driving into nowhere sometimes, driving in too deep, getting caught. It wasn't just the turnovers. He was in a position where he's always he had to take really tough shots. They kept talking on the broadcast. Every time they forced him left, some bad things would happen. Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, he was getting he was getting swallowed up down there.
Yeah, and you know, he tends to go either too deep or not deep enough. Like he'll, and when he not when he's not going deep enough, he's just dribble, which leads to a turnover. And if he gets too deep, it's a turnover. He's got to figure out how to be better, more efficient, less turnover prone. Like literally right now, when you look at Jaylen Brown's game, if you were to just kind of break it down into its basic element, that's the one thing that's going to keep him from being a great player. He's a good player now. He's not going to ever get beyond where he's at now until he gets a better handle on his handle. That's literally his biggest flaw right now. And we're seeing it on the biggest stage of all right now. And give Golden State credit. They have, without question, they've done a better job, I think, defensively as far as rotating, knowing when to double team, knowing when to blitz, knowing when to show. They're doing a lot of different things that is been really important to keeping the Celtics off balance. But at the end of the day, Jaylen Brown, you're 6'6", 6'7". When you get to switch with Clay or Steph, you can shoot over the top of those guys. They can't jump with you. And I would be much more comfortable with him getting those matchups and just trying to shoot over those guys than trying to beat them off the dribble and get a little bit closer, which allows Draymond Green, who I thought they, again, he didn't spend nearly as much time as that initial defender on Jaylen as we've seen in the last couple of games. And it worked out well. I mean, he still wound up fouling out, but his impact defensively was much greater, I thought, in this game than we've seen in the last couple. And they've activated Klay Thompson. He's officially in the party. That's a problem.
Yeah,
that's a big problem.
And Wiggins, you know, and again, we talked about it. You lost the Curry is bad game. That's bad. You know, did you guys lose me?
I got you.
Jimmy? Oh, I'm right here. I muted myself.
No problem. Go ahead, Jimmy.
22 points off 18 turnovers for the Celtics. The Warriors 103 points off turnovers are the most by any team through the first five finals game since 1992 Bulls. So basically what it's saying is nobody's turned the ball over and given up more points than the Celtics have since 1992. Just to give you an idea of how freaking frustrating it's been.
30 years. We're talking 30 years, Jim.
30 years. 30 years.
Other than Al Horford, was anybody on this team born?
John was 40.
Last time that happened.
What was that?
Oh, shit. Wow. Wow. Damn, Jimmy.
No, I'm just kidding. Damn. It's okay. He doesn't feel, he can't feel anything today anyway, so I can say that.
Well, they got game six coming up.
There's that.
There's game six.
There's Al basically admitting that they let the refs get to them tonight. How many times have we heard that, Sherrod? How many times have we heard that?
We don't hear it when they win, but we do hear it when they lose. How's that?
Yeah. Old habits die hard, man.
Well, the thing about this game, though, is I mean, yes, there were absolutely some pretty crappy calls. There's no doubt about that. It's inevitable. But the thing that I say from the very beginning of this game, the officials were pretty clear in indicating they were going to let you play. They were going to allow physical play, and Golden State recognized that real quick. That's why they were attacking and lowering the shoulder in the guys off the dribble while being able to maintain a dribble, whereas the Celtics were getting frustrated because they were getting fouled. Yeah, they were getting fouled, but damn it, you do know that the refs are allowing you to foul them too. And by the time they figured out how to kind of enter the party, it was too late. Golden State was in a roll. Klay Thompson was in a nice rhythm. Andrew Wiggins was either scoring off jump shots or scoring on putbacks. You got nothing from your bench.
Right.
Nothing. Like, you got, what, 1 point? No, 4 points. Grant hit the 1-3. Yeah, 4 points.
Yeah, and that was it.
What's up, Joe Sway?
You didn't get much. How you doing, guys?
Oh, Jimmy, we're just I think Jimmy's peachy.
Face says it all.
We're just peachy, dude.
Oh, man. That was
Bobby in the building, too.
For what this
Bobby Manning, Josue Pavone jumping in from San Fran. Josue, go for it.
It's unfortunate. Look, yeah. The fourth quarter, for someone like Tatum to make those crucial turnovers is one thing. But the way this team was just completely unfocused, man. Like, look, the 10-0 run, obviously, that happened. You know, you had enough time to clean that up. But then when they couldn't find their offense, the way they were stagnant, the careless turnovers, man. Some of these turnovers were like, that was giving me flashbacks to like January, February, you know, that type of team. And look, Ime talked about the crowd being in it and you know, Celtics just wanted to bark at the officials and just out of sync. I agree with all that. But I just think at the end of the day, when it comes down to your two stars, man, they have to, you have to make plays. You have to make plays, especially someone like Jaylen, who I thought was on pace to have a terrific game. But just made some really, really timely turnovers, man. That was just, look, the turnovers, you got to give the Warriors their credit. But also, this funk that Tatum is in, combined with, you know, the team going stagnant. Like, look, we talked about this a few nights ago, Bobby, how the team's going to go as Tatum leads them. And it's tough to see this team try to find themselves in those stretches in that fourth quarter when the offense just looks completely shell-shocked. The Warriors had them on their heels just like they did much in the first quarter. Which is like, look, after what you, the way you came out in the third quarter, the way you completely turned the game around, grabbed your first lead, like, how do you shy away from that so quickly in the fourth quarter and turn into a completely different team? Or as John likes to say, turn into a pumpkin, it seemed like. Like,
that's what they do.
Have to make adjustments.
That's what they do. They figure out something that works, and for whatever reason, they inexplicably go away from it, thinking that, well, let's go away from this before they shut it down. Hell no. You go until they shut it down. You milk, you prime right. that pump until you can't get anything more out of it. And they just they cut the valve off before they can just let the overflow of goodness come their way. And that's just – I don't understand that. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Right.
Bobby, you've been quiet.
Yeah. I think you guys said it all. Like, there's – there's not much you can do left adjustment-wise. You've worked for a whole season to get to this point, and you just can't do the things you did tonight, and they did them. So you're going to lose this series if you continue to do those things. You have the rock of a defense to keep you in these games. You're not going to go down by a ton. You saw in the third quarter when the ball popped, when guys got downhill, when you asserted your will at the basket, you were in position to win this game. And then when you stop and you talk about that word trust a lot, you lose trust in White, you lose trust in Smart, who just had another dreadful game. You're basically on an island if you're Brown and Tatum. And that Warriors defense is so good. We talked about it coming into this series. They load up. They show you different looks. They're unpredictable. They cut off the basket, even though they don't have a high-level rim protector. And it feels like when the Celtics can't get to that basket area, they have nowhere to go, nothing to do besides – toss up jumpers and
or keep whipping it out to the perimeter and yeah
or losing the ball on the dribble,
you know, but the Jaylen classic that he does when he whips it out to look to somebody else out, you know, out on the perimeter, but then there's two Warriors players in between that pass. I mean, look, I'm not putting it all on Jaylen. I guess they all get their share.
Yeah,
part.
I know,
look,
we're gonna kill
Bobby
them.
And I talked about the main playmakers, whether it's Tatum, whether it's Marcus, or whether it's Brown, they stacked up the most. So against this Warriors
team,
I'm
not going to them though tonight, because what happened here was they reached a point where they just had nothing around them. Smart couldn't get it done. White, Grant off the bench was dreadful. I thought he set the whole tone for that collapse of his two back.
Well, Bobby, they combined for
there.
Damn near 15 turnovers, man. It's like, well, that's a lot.
I mean, that's gonna they're doing the brunt of the work, so they're going to have the higher numbers there. But who would you look to if you're them and trust in this spot based off how everybody else is playing?
Doesn't matter. You have no choices. You can't change the script now, okay? You have
right.
It is what it is. Even in the first, when they couldn't hit a three, I'm thinking to myself, keep driving the lane. Keep kicking to open shooters. Just
absolutely.
Keep doing it. That's it. There's no other solution. There's no magic pill. You know what doesn't work? Anything else. You know? Like, just dribbling into traffic, trying to get sneaky with it. Like, it doesn't work, okay? So you have to do that. That's how they're making you beat them. You have to do it. You have to just be more decisive and get your shots up quick or get to the basket quick. As Ime said, rise up every once in a while for a mid-range, which they didn't do ever again. You know, and I know it's not Bobby, we've debated percentages here. You're just not seeing a lot of free throw jumpers here. You're seeing them try to get deep on their drives or looking to kick the shooters. That's all they're doing. But Tatum, when Tatum found a little something, and you know what they're doing, they're overplaying them on the right. They're bringing in a second help defender to kind of force them further away from the basket. And for most of the time, Celtics are trying to dribble around that, you know, and it gets
They're doing that floating again, John.
It drives me crazy. It's like, what are you? You're going further away from the basket. But when Tatum finally did get it going, what happened? He's like, okay, Porter's camped out on my right hand and a screen is coming. I'm just going to step left, rise up and shoot. And he friggin' hit those threes in that 10-0 run. That's what the game gives you. You have to be able to take that. You can't just force whatever it is that you want to have happen. And those are the habits Sherrod talks about where they just kind of keep falling back into them. Just keep playing until they fall. It did. The three started falling. You know, you just have to. What else are you going to do? Yeah. And when you go to the basket, you got to go up strong. You know, and I don't know. And there was a lot of contact tonight that didn't get called. And then they just didn't hit their free throws.
Free throws, John. Yep. I mean, you get 31. How many more do you need?
And they got 15. Golden State had 15. So, I mean, you can't bitch about
it. So, again, I just don't get it. You know, there was dumb stuff there, but most of it was self-inflicted. The Marcus Tech takes him completely out of the game. Great, you know, little stupid things like Grant hooking the arm there, even though he was getting hooked. Just stay away from that. That's just dumb, dumb stuff. But then hit your freaking free throws. Again, you're going to complain about the refs. Yeah. You know, was it – who called it? It wasn't Brothers. It was the other official who called the tech on Ime.
That was a horrible tech, yeah.
That's horrible. That
made no sense.
That's horrible.
Ime said Tony didn't like something he said to him or something. I don't know. He wouldn't.
I didn't see that exchange. Did you see that on TV, John, him and Brothers?
No, but it's like they went after him. It was like the ref instigated that. Just let that shit go. You know, so much of that was dumb. You know, even the Marcus one was dumb. The officiating wasn't great, but as you said, the free throw disparity went to Boston. So, you know.
And, you know, Curry doesn't hit a three in this game, and he's not himself. And I thought offensively throughout, Warriors weren't anything special.
They were terrible.
Distance the whole way.
They were, they were at best average, at best. And that's being very, very generous to them.
A lot of cleanup buckets by, and, you know, I don't mean that as an insult. Wiggins was sensational, but it's all the garbage dump off stuff around the rim. And you need that. And that's kind of what the Celtics are missing right now, right? Like those easy rim looks. You know, a few good pick and roll feeds to Rob early, those kind of disappear late. You know, Horford's giving you more of the pick and pop action right now, but you know, who's going to give you that easy outlet at the basket? Brown set a good tone, I thought, at the start of the third. Like he came out flying and was producing all those baskets, kickouts. Getting Tatum off the ball was essential, I thought, out of halftime. But
yeah, and we talked
again,
about that.
You just lost some of that ball. They had a 35-point quarter in the third, and Ime said it after the game. Sensational stuff there. But the word you don't like to hear is fatigue. And
that
fatigue
pulled three
was flying
ball
around
at the end, though. That was huge, though.
Is that what they're talking about? Yeah,
a lot of talk of fatigue. Yeah, from Ime especially there, saying that could have played a factor.
It's fair. I mean, it's fair. They're, you know, you've got 7-7 and at least 6, and you have you're playing your starters and most of your critical players. You know, 40 plus a game. It's not.
What do they go to with 10 minutes left in the fourth? The starters. You can't play White. You can't play Grant. So you're 5 deep.
Listen. Your season is down to 1 game, maybe 2 if you're lucky. I don't want to hear about fatigue. I don't want to hear about being exhausted. I don't want to hear any of that because you know where you literally see the finish line. It would be one thing if this were like the first or second round, even the conference finals, where you really don't know when this is going to end. You are at the end of the road.
Yeah.
And if you can't suck it up and play your ass off now, you got bigger problems than, you know, fatigue. That's I don't want to hear about fatigue.
No, that's fair.
I was surprised.
And you missed an opportunity. You missed an opportunity to steal one.
I was surprised to hear him use a charade. It just doesn't seem like something he usually does, but maybe it's the truth. I mean, you definitely need in free throws.
But there are multiple games before we got to. But there are multiple games before we got here where fatigue wasn't an issue, and they still found a way to not get it done.
No, it's fine. But if not for garbage time when you pulled Tatum and Brown late, they would have gone 46 minutes tonight. You know, they each played 44 and change. So I mean,
the difference was the supporting cast. Yeah. Again, I didn't think Tatum was terrible tonight. Like I thought he
wasn't good terrible,
especially at a halftime. Yeah,
the third quarter
wasn't terrible. He wasn't terrible, Bobby, but that's not the barometer of Jason Tatum. Oh, he wasn't terrible. You need him to be a first-team All-NBA player in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. And if he isn't,
especially
it's worthy of discussing why he isn't and why he hasn't.
He was
been.
Almost as good as Andrew Wiggins tonight.
Right. So if that's if that's what you want to grade him on,
that sentence says everything. Right?
Yo, that's why
John's
I said
lead.
It. Almost.
That's John's lead for his next column.
Almost like as good as Andrew Wiggins.
Because at best, Tatum was what, maybe the third or fourth best player in this game?
Wiggins has been better than Tatum in the last couple games.
Yeah, Tatum didn't have a bad game, Bobby. And his third quarter, he was making really good reads, you know, kind of whipping balls out to open shooters. But that was the bulk of it. He knocked down a couple shots early. He had that miserable start, came in off of that first rest, knocked down three straight shots, which was good. And then he had that stretch in the third quarter, and that was really the bulk of his contributions. And then, you know, kind of disappeared again in the fourth. Everything he shot came up short. He was trying to force it in against Wiggins. He had more turnovers. You know, it just wasn't, you know, at that point, Wiggins beat him up. Yeah, Wiggins locked him up in the fourth. So that's you're just talking about one-on-one and what was needed, and your offense goes stagnant, and he got outplayed.
Well, I thought the key stretch was the beginning of the fourth there. Sherrod mentioned the weight of that pool three that was just so huge, and it flowed in there. I think a 7-0 push by the Warriors into the fourth there, where they're getting to the rim and they're doing some damage in there, and Rob's off the court, and you with like 10:30 left, you're like, if they don't get Rob out there. Again, this is going to go in a bad direction. And they did. They held on to it for a minute or so there, and then it just collapsed off the weight of the turnovers and the other plays that they threw away there. But the one encouraging thing you do get out of this is Rob pushed it to another gear minute-wise, production-wise. And when he was out there defensively, the Celtics were locked down. You just hope he has one more like 35, 40-minute push in him because they're going to need him. We talked about how this is a Rob series, John. It's a big matchup here out there. He's no longer a luxury.
Rob was great, and I think their most consistent player tonight. And they win the Rob minutes. So him playing more minutes is important. So the fact that you can get him up, I mean, he played almost the whole third quarter. Al spelled him there for a little in the fourth, and I was like, uh-oh, they're saving him for the last five or six, which we talked about that. Manage those minutes so you know you have enough left late when you need them. And then things were going horribly in the fourth, and as you said, Bobby, they went to the starters because they didn't trust anybody else. But Rob was Rob's super important. It's really interesting. I had one of my, you know, someone I was chatting with who's from Golden State tell me that the guy they a lot of you know in the chatter in the chat rooms in Golden State there one of the guys they fear is Rob, and each game they're like, I hope he doesn't play tonight, because they recognize that he's a difference maker and he makes life tough on them, because they can't get any of those easy buckets on the 4-on-3s when you get those dump offs to Draymond and he's fine. And they got a few of them tonight, but he really does take away a lot of the stuff that they're able to do there. And, you know, again, he was good. So he's going to have to keep being good in 6 and 7.
But I keep coming back when
Bobby,
I
Bobby, your
think
mic,
about
your mic's not working, buddy. We're trying to get you.
Yeah.
But we can't hear
you're
you.
Muted.
You're
no,
muted.
We'll wait till Bobby. Bobby, you good? Okay. The one thing I keep coming back to is Ime talking about this team's offense a couple days ago and just how our defense is solid, but our offense is just – it is what it is. That's a big freaking problem right now, because, again, they're getting enough good looks to where they can win these games. I think about Derek White. I think about Peyton Pritchard. Those guys had great looks and could knock them down. And that's – you're not going to win this series if your role players aren't playing a positive role. You look at a guy like Peyton, doesn't get a lot his number called, but he had like 14 points. Jordan Poole gave you like 15 points. You know, their role players are outperforming yours if you're Boston. And it's not about necessarily scoring them point for point, but damn it, make an impact, whether it's rebounding, defense, causing turnovers, having a really high plus minus. Just do something to help your cause, because right now you're just sucking up air out there. You're not helping the world, but just sucking up air, taking up time.
You know, Charlotte, as you're saying that, the first person that popped in my mind was Grant Williams. And like, I know, maybe I'm being too hard on him. Maybe I've just, you know, continued to give him a hard time about his play. But I just think this was a great series for him to just show out. You know, we saw what he did against Milwaukee. We saw what he can mean to this team on both ends of the floor. And I just feel like he disappears a lot throughout these games. I just haven't been impressed with how he's been playing this series. And it's not too late to change that. And I would love to see him go back to that guy that he was against the Bucks. But, I mean, is that guy still there? Like, I don't know. Maybe we have to wait until the offseason. Maybe he's too checked out at this point. And what I mean by that is that he gets too into, whether it's arguing with officials or whether it's getting frustrated about a particular play that carries over. And all of a sudden, he's not even playing 20-plus minutes like he used to. You know, he used to be one of those guys that Ime could rely on to help him in the front court, who could guard multiple positions and who could help you out on the switches. He hasn't done that this series, you know? So hopefully that can change, because they're going to need some muscle, you know, whether it's him or Derek White or probably both of them when this series heads back to Boston for game six.
Again, I've mentioned this a million times, and this drives me insane. This Jaylen Brown quote. We was looking around expecting somebody to bail us out. You just got to be stronger, physical, more dominant. Again, it's that whole, which one of you guys is going to make things good again? Attitude.
So we said no leaders.
It's like what Al said after game four.
And again, they sound like simple narratives, but you listen to what they say in postgame when these games go this way, and there's a lot of we, and we means they, like the other people around, you know, like it's not whatever it is. Like, I believe people are kind of looking at Tatum like, are you going to take this over or you want me to, or should Marcus shoot some threes? What do you think we should do here? You know,
Marcus shoot the threes. They got to worry about Marcus shooting the threes. Marcus is ready. He's got
trigger
cocked and loaded.
A lot of times, I think Smart does that because he's looking around. He's like, so none of you guys are gonna take charge. So I guess I will. I'll either make them and you'll be happy, or you'll get so annoyed by what I'm doing that you'll start to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
oh, you don't like that? Well, then let's do it differently next time. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and again, they are relatively simple narratives, but you hear them say it themselves after the game. Like, you know, we didn't come out. We ran out of gas. We kind of stopped playing. You know, we beat ourselves. We are waiting for somebody to step up. You know, all of that stuff is like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
So,
well, I feel like things are the same. They are bad flaws that have stuck around. I think John made a good point in these playoffs that where the old Celtics really gone. I think even you were probably surprised, John, at just how much they were still around for this whole run. And I think we're all stunned at just how much they've been able to overcome it. And they still have a chance to do it now just because of this defense. So you look at the system and what they're doing, it's brought them to a very high level here. But the stuff they can't get around is probably going to limit them from winning a championship.
And that's what bugs me the most is, again, it's not taking credit away from Golden State, because some people are like, they're a really good team. They're experienced. Sure they are, but you're also kind of keeping them in check, which means you really only have to play okay to be able to hang in these games. Offensively, you don't have to be that dynamic. You just have to be clean. And
cut down on the turnovers. That's what's killing you.
Less than 15. I mean, how many games, how many teams are you? I mean, how many? The 38 point Celtics was the November, December Celtics. You know, Bobby, we charted this. How many times they scored 40 points or fewer in a half? That was stuff we saw early in the year when they were playing horribly. That was not opponent driven, that was them. And when you see those habits kind of rear their head again, that's what's happening there. It's a lot of the same stuff that we saw earlier in the year that you can't purge themselves of.
Yeah, and yeah. The most frustrating thing, I think, is seeing it melt down out there a little bit, whether it's Smart going after the officials and picking up attack, or Grant yelling back and forth with the bench over a disagreement that they had, it looked like. And just some of the dysfunction out there is really the only way to put it, especially on the offensive end of the floor. And it's undermining this brilliant defensive effort that they're putting out there. You talk about these totals that you're holding Golden State up to, especially the three-point line in this one. You were putting yourself in more than a good enough position to win this series. And I give the Warriors some credit, but they haven't been outstanding in anything they've done. We talked about it, John. It's a gimmicky defense that they're running. You just have to kind of shift it and move it in the open space. And more often than not, they're overpassing, overpenetrating ground, going way underneath the basket on that one
making
play,
it
throwing
easier.
It out to Payton. Yeah. I know Joe Sway hated that play. And it's everybody. Everybody adds to it. This is all stuff we talked about during the winter. And they did a great job covering it up to this point, but it never really went away. And, you know, we'll save the conversation of what needs to change to get over it until the series is actually over. But it does feel like we're going to reach that conversation, even what they've pushed. Yeah, just the ball control, the committee, and the lack of play calling from the sideline. People crazy through the winter prevailed, but
so let me ask you, how much
best method for this team?
What are you guys putting on Ime right now?
A little heat.
I'll put a little bit more than a little heat. I would say he's 75% of the issue.
Really?
I just think that this. Yes.
It seems
yes.
high.
Because
that seems high.
Ime has been a big part of this team's success up to this point. I think he deserves that credit. When this team is struggling, when you see your best player just being so dormant and your second best player wondering, we need someone to step up, at what point do you need to pull them aside and say, here's a mirror. This who needs to step up. That dude. That's yeah. who needs to step up.
But what and about in terms your of job is, in-game, Sherrod?
X's and O's?
Yeah, like what yeah. should he be doing things differently? Should he be, you know, specific sets, calling more plays?
Yeah. Making sure see, that to me, this is a
what they're not doing issue, on their Sherrod. Own. How much of it do they need I to be?
When something is working, yeah. When something is working, I think it's his role to absolutely say, "Keep doing that shit." Real simple. And it sounds like, well,
what about when it's not working? That's the problem.
Come up with, well, see, here's the thing though. They had certain things that were working and they went away from them.
Yeah.
And they just stopped. It wasn't like Golden State made any adjustments per se. They just stopped doing them. Well, if Marcus Smart having the ball on the block allows other guys to get free for shots and he's finding them and you're cutting into that deficit, why would you go away from that? If Tatum, as John pointed out earlier, if you're all you need to simply do is go to your left slightly and raise up over guys who are smaller than you, why don't you keep doing that until they show that they can stop that? I don't, that's to me, that's where if your guys aren't executing consistently something that's working, as a coach, you need to make them execute that and remind them, this is working. This is why I'm telling you to do this shit. It's working. Right. So stop trying to freelance and do what the hell works.
I just feel like Tatum did do that when he had the switch on Curry, which is what you're supposed to do. But then whether it was the coverage from the other side or whether it was a double team, he would see another guy come his way and he would lose the ball. Or it was Jaylen Brown trying to drive through two or three defenders. And I just feel like when the turnovers start to stack, and even though the Celtics were still in it, you know, before the Warriors went on their run in the fourth quarter, it's like all of a sudden they don't want to pass the ball as much because they're too afraid of the turnover, too afraid of the crowd's going to get too rah-rah, and they're gonna end up on the wrong side of a 10-0 run, and that's exactly what happened. So I just think the Celtics have to stick with their game plan through the storm, you know?
Sure.
Through the
should
the
Ime
stretches.
Be doing more, like, play-to-play, every trip down, more to settle the offense when he sees things going awry?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Bobby, what do you think there?
Definitely. And I don't think he's wanted to rock the boat in this series much from what's worked. But you look at the other sideline, and I know we kind of got on curve for it because he's just sort of going left and right and up and down. But he has found things through that experimentation. What's been the best stretch of this series for the Celtics? The fourth quarter of game one, where they sat down Smart, had Pritchard out there, and went a little unconventional from what they've done during the regular season. And there really hasn't been, I know there's not a lot of room for experimentation and testing stuff out, but I felt like they missed the boat on that early in this series. And now it's probably too late to try different things.
Yeah,
like,
we talked about small ball fiving it with Grant quarter. And putting Pritchard out there and having more shooters is another possibility. But yeah, I don't know. You know, like I said, different actions for Tatum when you see him struggling, when he's the primary ball handler, playing him off the ball more, different things like that. Like, you know, just more wrinkles to kind of get these guys out of whatever, you know, ruts they're in right now, because, you know, we're seeing the same stuff repeated over and over again. So we'll see. What do you guys think about game six in terms of, you know, you're in the post game, you're listening to some of these guys talk, your general vibe on, like,
it's a little flat.
A little flat, right?
This feels different.
Yeah. They seem beat up and resigned tonight a little bit. Like they were
deflated. More mentally beat down. Yeah.
They were deflated deeply by this loss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they seemed a little checked out. When things snowballed in the fourth, they seemed checked out. You know, there's effort. You know, it, throughout the game, it's just kind of misdirected and misguided. The fourth quarter felt like they were sleepwalking.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bobby.
They did so much good stuff in the third. It's that carryover. And we talk about it. It can be as close as possession to possession. You do one good thing on one possession, and then the next, you're just out of control. And this of it. It'll be the fatal flaw if they go on to lose this series. Just, we talk about play calls. Like, you can really pull a tight rope on this offense and micromanage every little thing they do. But ultimately, it's the way you need to oversee this offense. You're not going to have an offense that gets you anywhere, because that's just not sustainable over the course of a season, over the course of a game. And that's why Aine doesn't do it. But if that's where you are as an offense, you're going to have bigger problems into the future, because you definitely got on a growth of your playmakers this year. But, man, have they killed you in some key spots. They really have. Just in terms of decision-making, it's not even, like, mistakes, because you'll turn the ball over. You'll be loose with the dribble. Some of the best players in this league turn the ball over. It's decision-making. Oh, you missed that read. Oh, you didn't run this set that probably would have worked here. Are you getting guys in the right spots? Are you hitting Grant again and again throughout the course of a series to keep him involved and keep him active and keep him uplifted? And instead, he's getting lost. That's part, like, we don't think about those things a lot. Like, just the little things you don't do as a playmaker throughout the course of the series that sort of build up. Because Grant has just gotten further and further out of the fold for them offensively, hasn't he? Like, he is just miles away from what everyone else is doing. When in the Milwaukee series, they were hitting him again and again and again, and they said, we're going to sink or swim in this game seven. Grant's going to shoot 17 threes, and we're going to keep finding him. And
what would have happened
in this game, he's lost.
Tatum was talking about the Draymond Green incident, which was freaking ridiculous, by the way, at the end of the under the basket. What would have happened if Jason Tatum just decided to shoot it and Green fouled him long after the whistle had blown? What's the call there? Like a tech?
Nothing. It should be a tech, but it's Draymond, so it'll be nothing.
Yeah, right.
It'll be nothing.
That was silliness.
You let him get going a little bit.
I think you need a Rambus moment.
You are more than overdue for a Rambus moment, a Rambus Parrish moment.
I didn't get a good look at that. I don't think the NBA was Tatum just kind of resigned to.
Yeah, I mean, it was nothing.
No, he's like, I'm just going to take the ball and go. He took the ball and went to the bench and just held on to it. I mean, insignificant stuff, but, you know, more from Tatum, you know, again, saying, hey, we're better when we don't turn it over.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah. You are better. I agree.
So do that instead.
We know, but yeah, the resignation was a little concerning, both in terms of how they looked on the court and how they kind of have been talking after the game. So I am curious kind of the bounce back ability here.
I feel the exact same way.
Everyone talks about, like, love and trust and all of that stuff, but when you're saying things like, you know, we're just waiting for someone to step up and we got to do this and we got to do that, but people aren't doing it, I never like to hear that. So, you know.
Well, I'm really
disappointed in Smart.
Smart sucked.
Why?
Smart looked like he was trying to get tossed. Maybe he didn't feel good physically. I felt like he was trying to instigate. He was brutal. But why, Bobby?
Because you talk about carryover. He did so much good stuff in the middle of the game. I thought he really got them going with the screening and the secondary playmaking there, and just the way he freed up Tatum, especially out of halftime. And then they get caught up in all that in the fourth and flop Clay three. Ime's got to chase him to the opposite of the scorer's table to pull him out of that scrum, and he's picking up a tech. And that's the lack of carryover that Ime's talking about. You're so great one quarter, then you're getting caught up in all of this the next quarter. Ime said we probably shouldn't do that as much. Like, just, we've talked about every game all year, every day, day in and day out, not going to do this stuff. And here you are with your season on the line doing it. If you lead it, right? He says, we go as I go. And you're doing that. Like, it's just disappointing because he's accomplished so much. This team has accomplished so much. And they're just going to throw it away in the spot. Like, it's not fair to themselves, really. Like, you're just disappointed for them because they figured out so much this year. And it's going to be a really disappointing ending if this is how they go out.
Well, it's disappointing because, and again, we sound like a broken record. We keep bringing this up, but you have to recognize when you are in a flow and why you're flowing. When Marcus Smart is playmaking from the elbow, you keep milking that. If Tatum has to step left and he's raising up and he's knocking down shots, and Golden State is not responding properly to that, you keep going to that. If Jaylen Brown is getting his in matchups that are in his favor, like if he's getting switches on Draymond Green and that's opening things up for him to go to the rim, you keep going to what works. And that's that this team doesn't seem to understand or embrace, that sometimes the things that work aren't necessarily things you're comfortable doing, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You still do them anyway. I'm pretty sure Steph Curry wasn't thrilled about giving up the rock as much as he did in this game. But damn it, he did it. Because Clay had it going. Because Andrew had it going. Because his teammates were doing their roles at a high level. And that, at that moment, was working for them. They didn't go away from that until the Celtics forced them to. And I don't understand how you can do that as a team. Go away from what's working, not because the defense suggested, but because you just decided to do something different.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
My question is,
I'm never going to understand that.
My question is, when we talk about then, when we just talk about the way they've structured their offense this year, Ime's mission statement coming in was, we're going to make Tatum and Brown ball handlers. They're going to be the point of attack. They're going to dictate everything here. And I don't know if it's fair, but I think it's worth asking whether that worked this year. Successful plan?
Here's my thinking with that, Bobby. I think that can work if you've got one guy who is a relatively dead-on shooter. If you've got one guy that if you're in playmaking mode and you get him the ball and he gets an open shot, he's going to make that 50, 60% of the time. If you've got, for example, if you have someone who's a better defensive version of Duncan Robinson, and not that good as a shooter, but someone who can – I want to see what Sam Hauser can do. I'm at that point now where I don't want to wait till summer league. I don't want to wait till next season. No. Damn it, I'm going to throw him out there now. I want to see if he can sink or swim. I do.
Are we at the Sam Hauser point of the show?
Yo, that's what I was going to say.
If we're,
listen, it might be time, John.
We're on the Sam Hauser.
We can wait for Summer League, I think, Sherrod.
It might be time to call it.
Let me ask you a question. Not even trying to be funny, but if you're Jason Tatum and you're dribble drive penetrating and you've got one guy that you can kick it to other than Jaylen Brown for a shot, who are you confident is going to make that shot? Who?
Why not Pritchard?
Are you trying to say
Sam
Hauser?
We don't have to go to Hauser. Pritchard played five minutes in this game.
Yeah, but he missed all of his threes.
And they were all open threes, Bobby.
He missed three open threes, and they're like, okay, well, you didn't do the thing we put you out there for, and that was it.
And Bobby, and that's literally his job.
That's all he was out there to do. It's not fair.
Out there to make open threes.
It's not fair, but you have one job. You missed them all.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. If I'm Jason Tatum and it's game six in the NBA Finals, and I drive to the hoop and I kick it left and Sam Hauser catches the ball and I'm Jason Tatum, I'm packing up my bags and I'm heading.
Sam Hauser has to shoot 100%. He has to shoot 100% from three in order to make up for the basket he'll give up every single time down the floor on the defensive end. He'd literally have to shoot 100% in order to come close to breaking even.
We'll see how that goes next year.
Yeah.
I like it for next year, but I'm not there.
Anyway, we're not there yet.
I'm investing in him early. How's his stock? I'm trying to get that house stock. There yet. All you I'm jump not, on it.
Yeah.
I'm obviously kidding. I mean, I know Hauser's a good shooter. It's just not going to happen.
Let me say this. I want to see if anyone's going to join me on the boat here.
You better not say Cornette.
You're about to say something crazy right now.
No, I'm gonna say I still think they can win this series.
Neesmith.
I don't think it's out of grasp.
Oh, yeah.
I think they can easily string together two wins here. Their defense gives them ability.
Bobby, I don't think they can easily do it. I don't think they can easily do it because for them to do it, they're going to have to go against their DNA instincts, which is to make some plays and then go away from that.
They can't easily do anything.
No. Right. They can do it. But, Bobby, if they can, I agree with you, Bobby, if they can limit the turnovers, find something that works and milk that until Golden State forces them to adjust. Yeah, it's doable.
It's a straightforward formula. Maybe not easy, not the right word, but it's straightforward.
It is. It's very, very simple. Very simple. And you're confident they're going to do that.
It's just going to come down to which team shows up. It's impossible to predict which Celtics team shows up.
I know, but are we going to see November Celtics, or will this be like the February, March, April?
After back-to-back losses like playoffs, this, though. You're starting to guess you're going to see this version, which is what worries you. But again, you don't know. So we'll see. We don't know game to game.
They're random. Yeah, they could be the best version of themselves on Thursday.
It was just the way they kind of –
That's the drinking game.
It was just the way they kind of bowed out tonight, which has, I think, me and John similar.
Yeah, it was so, I don't know. It was
dismissive.
Weird.
They did.
They were very dismissive.
They just kind of stopped, and then they just looked around, and they're like, "I guess it's over."
Game four.
It almost felt like it was game seven.
They were grinding. They just missed everything. In this one, it just everything just went. I mean, it was the whole thing, offense and defense, just stopped. It was weird. But real quick, want to give one more shout out to our sponsor real quick, HelloFresh. Why cook? We're stressed out. We're busy. We're watching games. We're staying up late.
I could use that meatloaf right now, damn it.
I had some hoisin chicken tonight delivered to my door. Really good stuff. But again, let them do all the work for you. The grocery shopping, portions, the season, farm fresh ingredients to your doorstep. You whip it up. Good to go. Go check it out. HelloFresh.com/playoff16. Use the code playoff16 up to 16 free meals. Guys, that's it. I don't want to do this anymore.
You guys just binge eat HelloFresh.
You guys didn't answer my question. Is anyone jumping on the boat with me? Does anyone believe?
I've never left the boat, Bobby. I said the Celtics went to seven, but damn it. I'm still pissed and disappointed that
everyone's still on board.
The Celtics played as bad as you could possibly play. And it was basically a wash entering the fourth quarter. You know, like at any point in time, the Celtics can do enough to not only stay in games, but win games or win games comfortably. I mean, so of course they can show up. It's just, will they, you know, that's the question here. And again, credit to Golden State for some of what they're doing. Right. Credit to Golden State for their championship DNA. Golden State didn't play that great. Golden State's not doing anything that tricky that you haven't seen at any point in the series either. At this point, they've felt each other out. There's no new wrinkles. There's nothing. There's just execution. Celtics didn't execute.
Just keep
tonight.
Wiggins off the boards. He's going to win a finals MVP. Just chase Celtics rebounds.
Celtics didn't execute tonight. They just played poorly. It's not much more complicated than that. You're not going to go back and look at this game and be like, oh, look at this. No, it's just execution.
This was the issue. Yeah.
No, I mean, there were adjustments, executions, different things, some tweaks, doing things a little bit differently.
There's a list of things, though. Yeah.
But they've seen it all. They're not being surprised by what they're seeing from Golden State. Right. It's just a matter of execution. Right. So will they do it? You know, has Golden State kind of figured out the Celtics over the last couple of games. I don't really know, but we'll see. Game six is Thursday. All of these guys are heading on planes back home. Final thoughts if you have them, and then we're going to close it out.
I'll go. I think we're just going to learn. We're going to learn a lot about the makeup of the Celtics team on Thursday. And it might, it might be a big difference in what happens this summer is the way, even if they, let's say they do lose, I want to see how they lose. I don't want them to go out Thursday like they went out tonight. Obviously I want to see them, you know, rally and come back and force a game seven. I think that would really go far for them, for their mental. So I'm just really interested to see which team shows up. It's been throughout the playoffs. It's been since Brooklyn series. So Milwaukee and Chicago. It's so hard to figure out which Celtics team is going to show up. And tonight was no different. And Thursday, I don't think will be any different either. We'll have to wait and see. I know that they're talented enough to beat this Warriors team.
Just ways touching things.
I picked Celtics in seven, so I'm not going to Max
is texting me.
Go away from it. But I will say I really don't like where it's trending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
I think we've gone ours out.
Back on that, Jimmy.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to say – I'm looking at the Celtics' leadership. I feel like that's going to be the story of game six. How is this team going to lead? Those three guys in particular that we talked about, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. I mean, that's the nucleus that sort of turned this season around, right? Between Tatum and Brown having a difficult conversation, Marcus Smart trying to be the point guy that this team needs him to be. It took him a while to get it, but obviously he did. And I think at the end of the day, it comes down to those three guys. You know, they have to guide this team in a particular way. And not do it and do it as a cohesive unit, right? Not do it as, you know, little bits and pieces here and there, because the Golden State Warriors, they feed off on that, I feel like. You know, they know when there's a chink in the armor, and they know when these guys aren't connected the way they were, you know, in that game one matchup, you know, that blowout win. But and throughout the entire playoffs, essentially, right? A lot of these games, especially on the road, you know, we just didn't see that Celtics team this time around. So I'm looking at their leadership. I'm looking at how they respond to adversity, especially when there's foul trouble, the wrong end of a huge run. You know, you're at home, you got the crowd behind you. Let's see what they do, because at the end of the day, this is going to be the last time they play there, no matter what. So I have something winning that game. I don't know if they can win this entire series, but there will be a game seven. We will be flying back out here in San Francisco. I believe that. We'll see how the execution.
I'm coming with you.
I'm coming too. Fine. I'll come.
Let's do it. That's the whole time report.
Come on, John. John, Sherrod's going to be here. You know what? Yo, it's Father's Day dinner's on me. Come on, fellas.
All right.
I'm flying.
Oh, there you go. I'm in. Okay.
I got a flight day of.
All right, Dad.
I got a flight day of game, so my Father's Day meal is going to be the HelloFresh dinner I made the night before, brought with me on the plane. Okay, lovely. That's my Father's Day brunch. I'm going to have it on the plane on the way to San Fran. So game six Thursday, Sunday, game seven. Bobby, I'm trying to wrap. I've been trying to wrap for so long. All right, I'm just trying to wrap it. Go ahead, Bobby.
I got you, John.
Let me get one tease.
Joe Sway said it well there.
Okay. Yeah.
He co-signed it. He did. What's up, Joe Sway? My dog.
Oh, that's it? Your tease? Oh, thanks, Bobby. Appreciate you.
What's your tease?
Go, Joe Sway.
So I caught up with Gary Payne and Cedric Maxwell, and Draymond Green made an appearance. So stay tuned for that. I'll be posting that soon.
What? Ooh, no. Nice tease.
Well, I love it. Back my dog.
Knock the –
Stay tuned.
Good. Good stuff. All right. That's great. So that's – I'm going to tell you, go check that out on our Celtics All Access channel. Immediately, that's going to be good stuff. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us all on Twitter. We'll be back Thursday in super happy, good moods. Bunch of us down at the Garden checking out the game.
Oh, true. We're gonna have boots on the pavement on Thursday.
Yep. So we're all in the rest of the way. We'll be on site. So we'll see you there on Thursday night. Thanks for hanging out with us.